Jude's story today contains a mystery, something unusual and unexpected. And you might have an idea for what that is, but you might be wrong. So let's see if we can solve the mystery together. On this day, Jesus is in a border place, an in-between place, an intersection between Samaria and Galilee. They're not just two regions of the same country, really. There were different people, Samaritans and Jews, live near each other but separate. And Jesus is approached on his way into a town by 10 people who live across a different kind of border there on the edge of town. They are 10 lepers. These folks had various kinds of skin diseases and infections. It's not leprosy in the way that we might medically understand today. Various skin diseases that were visible and possibly infectious. And people with these diseases and infections were considered religiously unclean. Something or someone was unclean. They could transfer that uncleanliness. They could infect other people or places or objects with uncleanliness. And so lepers were excluded from society. Maybe now we finally have a little bit of idea of that after the pandemic. It's become part of our language to be isolated. But this was even more serious. They were isolated from family, friends, everyone, and had to live outside and on the edge of society. Maybe we still have people like that today. Not just maybe, we certainly do. And remember, this was a time long before vaccines or antibiotics or modern medicine anyway. And they were forced to live outside the community as outcasts. So without getting too close to Jesus and his followers, they call out to him and they beg Jesus for help. Jesus sees them and he tells the 10 to go and show themselves to the priests. Now, I've never had anybody show up and want to show themselves to me after having leprosy or anything else. But that's what they did. When you recover from leprosy, when you recover from something that has made you unclean, the priests were the ones to certify that. Officially, you could come back and be part of the community. So they go to be checked out by the priests. Well, they all go except for one. And here's the mystery. One of them comes back to Jesus. He doesn't go to the priests. He kneels at Jesus' feet. And another twist that's part of the mystery is that this one is a Samaritan. We don't know if he was the only Samaritan of the 10, but this one who came back is a Samaritan. Now, does anybody know what a Samaritan is? What's a Samaritan? Someone who lives in Samaria. There is an absolutely correct answer. That doesn't tell us very much, though, does it? Well, it tells us one thing important. Most of us have heard Good Samaritan. Ah, they're not Jews, but they're close, like really close. Gentiles, well, sorry, Jews and Samaritans have a history that goes way back. They weren't just foreigners, they were enemies because of their shared history. For Jews, Samaritans were anything but good, which is why that story about the good Samaritan was very surprising and even shocking. The Jews and the Samaritans in the time of the New Testament, both groups considered themselves descendants of Abraham. Both groups read the Hebrew Bible, the Torah, the books of Moses. They had so much in common, but sometimes our closest neighbors are the ones that we feel the most animosity with. And the animosity between Jews and Samaritans was fierce. They both saw themselves as the legitimate heirs of their great leader Moses, and the Jewish people believed that the place to worship God was in their temple in Jerusalem, but the Samaritans worship God on Mount Gerizim in their own territory of Samaria. Well, that is until the Jewish people destroyed the Samaritan sanctuary. They had history. So you can imagine how the two groups felt about each other. And it's important for us to know that as we think about what happened in this story. One leper returns, praising God, falling at Jesus' feet, and he's a Samaritan. I wonder if they didn't even notice that at first when they were all 10 lepers together at a distance. But maybe when he came back and he was well, wait a minute. This guy's not one of us. He's a Samaritan. And yet Jesus praises him. This outsider, this enemy. Now, the point of the story is not that the 9 were bad and one was good. In our Bible study this past week, someone said, oh, I can relate to those 9. Because sometimes I forget to say thank you. Sometimes I forget to come back and say thank you. We've all done that, haven't we? But they did what they were told. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests, and they did. We assume that the other 9 carried on to see the priests. The priests declare that they were no longer unclean, and they can rejoin society. No longer outcasts, no longer ostracized. They're given a new lease on life. Because Jesus healed them, their lives are forever changed for the better. The 9 lepers did what Jesus told them to do, and they received what they asked for. But we are left with this mystery. One leper, why does this Samaritan turn back? Wasn't it important for him to go to the priest too? Instead of going with his comrades in disease, he turns around and comes back to the one who had healed him. Not even to his own region of Samaria, to one of their priests, but to Jesus. The Samaritan, this enemy, is the only one who recognizes the authority of Jesus. The Samaritan understands that it's not the priests in Jerusalem or in Samaria that he needs. Jesus is the one he needs. Jesus is the one in whom the God of the universe is present. To praise God and give thanks, the Samaritan returns to Jesus and falls down at his feet. The point of this story is not that we should all come back and say thank you. This is not just a big reminder like you got from your mother or your mother-in-law to send that thank you note. That is not the point. The point is who we need to thank and who can join in thanksgiving. This weekend, we celebrate Thanksgiving. Some of us are having turkey tonight, right? Maybe. We give thanks for all the food that the land provides. As we finish up the big harvest time of the year, we give thanks. But as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, none of us are farmers, are we? Even retired farmers? Ah, one. So with the one exception, we are not farmers. And we're so used to getting all the food that we need any time of the year, I think we hardly even notice that this is harvest time. This is the end of the traditional harvest time. It's kind of like the other nine lepers. They didn't do anything wrong. They did exactly what they were told to do. They were cured and they went to the priests. And no doubt they thanked God for their healing, no doubt. But they missed on the opportunity to come back and meet Jesus up close, in person, to know him and see what else he might change in their lives. The mystery of the one who came back is that the Samaritan was able to discover the true power of gratitude. The healing power of gratitude, which has the power to heal more than the body, even more than restoring community, but also the power to replace religious practice with genuine relationship with God. In Christ, the Samaritan leper was able to meet God in person and to discover the healing power that transforms every part of our lives. God has given us so much. And of course, we want to give thanks for food and friends and family and all that makes our lives beautiful. But when we turn back to Jesus to express our gratitude, when we recognize the authority of Christ in our lives, our gratitude opens us to transformation that is far deeper than just skin deep. Through Christ, we can be restored to wholeness and become agents of his reconciling love. No matter who we are, no matter how much of an outsider we may feel, may we turn back and give thanks and praise to God who has transformed and is transforming us. Amen.